Psalms happen to be one of my favorite books of the Bible, just because Psalms addresses, I think, almost everything else that you can find in the other books of the Bible. Some theologians believe that the Psalms are basically a summary of the whole Bible. So, for example, the Psalm talks about Jesus. It talks about the coming of Jesus, his death, his resurrection. So the Psalm is more or less like the gateway to the Bible. And also the Psalm addresses all kinds of emotions that we go through as humans, or all kinds of experiences that we go through as humans. So when you go on a holiday somewhere, and then you are really thrilled by a beautiful scenery, the psalm gives you some words to praise God about his creation. You know, who is man that you are mindful of? Who is man that you so care about? When you feel so lonely and you feel so depressed, you can have some verses in the psalms that will encourage you. When we are filled with gratitude and we want to praise God, you can turn to the psalms, and then there are some words that would help you to praise God in the way you want to praise God. And when we are tempted to think that our life on earth is going to last forever, the Psalms again reminds us that the days of man on earth is like breath. So the Psalms do address almost every experience that we go through in life. So that's what the series is going to be on the book of Psalms. And I'm really excited about this series, and I hope you are as well. So today is going to be the start, and I plan to look at Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 is also believed to be the gateway. It is actually the beginning of Psalm, of course, but it wasn't, you know, chosen randomly to be the gateway to the book of Psalms. You know, it's actually, some people do believe that it's a summary of the whole of Psalm. So what I'm going to do is to try to go deeper into what Psalm 1 really is. So this message is basically going to be about happiness, and we're going to learn from Psalm 1 why some people are happy and some people are also unhappy. So there are some three major principles that I'm going to address, and I'll talk about that later. But happiness is something that we all desire. We all desire to be happy. When we begin a new year, we wish ourselves happy new year. Everybody wants to be happy on this earth. But why is it that we find ourselves being so unhappy? A couple of years ago, there was an article which was published in Forbes magazine, and it was written by an American writer, Peggy Noonan. And then she was looking at the issue of happiness. So she was asking the question, why are Americans so unhappy? And I think it's not just about Americans, but I think it applies to the rest of the West, at least the West in general. So she was addressing the issue, why are Americans so unhappy? And what she decided to do was to write to 11 prominent people in the world from different backgrounds. Most of them were Nobel Peace Prize winners. So people from economics, people from theology, people from philosophy, psychology, and she wanted to get different ideas on why we are so unhappy, even though we live in a world where we are prospering so much, where we are so comfortable, yet we are unhappy. And all of them came to a similar conclusion. Even though they are speaking from different perspectives, they all came to a similar conclusion, and their conclusions were linked to morality and spirituality. Interesting. They all, from different backgrounds, their conclusions were linked to morality and spirituality. And so in the article, which is titled, You Would Cry Too If It Happened to You, written by Peggy Noonan, on what she received from these men, there is a long quote here, but I'm not going to read the quote. But what she basically argues is that she compares happiness among our ancestors, so in the ancient times, and then happiness in our modern times. And what she argues is that people in the ancient times were much happier than we are. And I think I agree with her. And the reason she gives is that people in the ancient times believed that there are two kinds of worlds that exist. So the world as we see it, the physical world as we see it, is not all that exists. There is another world that comes after life. So when people are crushed by life, when people are bitter in life, when people are going through pain and suffering in life, they encourage themselves with another world which happens after life. If you contrast it with our modern time, we believe that all that exists in this world is what we see. This world is the only thing that we have. So you've got to be happy in this world. And if you are not being happy in this world, it means you are never going to be happy. And we all know that, as the saying goes, life gives oranges and also lemons, right? Life is sometimes or oftentimes even bitter. You know, so if you are not happy in this world, then it means, from at least from the secular perspective, then it means that you are never going to be happy. But what I'm going to do this morning is to focus on the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. And I'm going to read to you Psalm 1. So Psalm 1, starting from the verse 1 to the verse 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. We bless you that you are the rock of ages. We bless you that you are the foundation upon which, Father, any good thing, Father, can be built in this life. We thank you that, Lord, you are the source of all happiness and all hope we can have in this life. And so, Lord, we ask that as I speak, Lord, may you speak through me. And most importantly, Lord, also may you speak to our hearts, Lord. And may you speak to me as well as I speak. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. So what I'm going to do is I'll focus on the first three verses of the Psalm 1. And what I intend to do is to speak to four groups of people. So the first group of people I intend to speak to are the people who think that happiness is natural, unless you are stupid. So unless you screw up, there are some people out there who are unhappy, but they are unhappy because they screwed up. So happiness is natural insofar as you do what is right, you do what is good, and you work hard, you will be happy. And there is another group of people who think that happiness is an illusion. So for the first group of people, it's usually, it's so common among we, the younger ones, you know, we think that we are going to be happy in the future if we do this, if we do that, if we are able to get all these things. And I think the reason is because we have not been around for so long. But if you turn to the older folks, most of them will tell you that happiness perhaps does not exist. Or happiness is an illusion. You know, and you find this among the great thinkers. Or you find this among the most successful people on this earth who have gotten all the things that we think when we get will make us happy. So the first group of people, happiness exists unless you are stupid. The second group of people, they have experienced life. They've achieved a lot. And for that matter, they think that happiness does. And they did not find the happiness, so they think happiness does not exist. And there is another kind of people who are kind of tossing between the two and are so busy with their lives, they are not even thinking about the prospect of unhappiness, you know, unless some tragedy happens or unless there is some struggles or some major challenge in life, then it forces them to realize that they are really unhappy. And there's a fourth group of people, which are people who believe what the Bible says about happiness and live according to that, and for that matter, are deeply happy all the time. So these are the four people I plan to speak to. But if you look at these Psalms, the Psalm give us at least three principles. And the first one is that the Psalms, Psalm 1, tells us that happiness is possible. Happiness is possible. And this is sort of a radical statement. You know? Because if you would speak to people who are very successful or people who whom we call the wise in this world, they will tell you that happiness is not possible. You are not going to get happiness in this earth. You can read about the ancient literature or even our modern literature. Most of the moving literature in the world are literature that happen that actually end on a sad note. They don't end on a happy note. If you look at Shakespeare, for example, it doesn't end on a happy note. So you look at the most successful people, you listen to them, and then they will tell you that happiness is not possible. But the Bible is saying that happiness is possible. Why? Because it says, blessed is the one. Blessed. Now, the word blessed over here is the Hebrew word asherei, and it basically means happy. So blessed. So anytime you see blessed being used in the Old Testament, it's literally translated to happy, happiness. So blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of the ungodly, but rather meditates on the words of God, which means that happiness is possible. And this is how the whole book of Psalms begins. This whole book of Psalms begins by saying that happiness is possible. It is something you can attain. This is not what we find in the world. You know, most of us start by thinking that happiness is natural, happiness is possible, we are going to get it. But as we grow and as we become older, we begin to lean towards the opposite direction by thinking that happiness is so far away from us, we are not going to get it. But the Psalms tells us that happiness is possible. I would read a brief quote from C.S. Lewis in his book Mere Christianity. This is what he says when he was talking about hope. He said, creatures are not born with desires unless the satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire. Well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. You see, why do we all desire for happiness if it doesn't exist? Think of everything you desire for. He's mentioned a few over here, but think of everything you desire for. It exists somewhere, but we desire so much for happiness, yet we remain unhappy. So why? And this takes me to my next point, which is going to be the longest of all the points I'm going to make, which is one other thing that the book of First Psalms tells us about happiness. It tells us, and this principle is about how not to seek happiness. How not to seek happiness. And I'm going to raise 2 points. The first point is that happiness is not based on circumstances. And that is what this psalm talks about. Happiness is not circumstantial. It is not based on our circumstances. It is not based on the things that happen to us. There was an article which was written in the New York Times. And it was written by a psychotherapist and a writer by name Lori Gottlieb. And she is a psychotherapist herself, but what she did was she was interviewing a top psychotherapist. So this was a person who gives treatment to people with anxiety and depression. And she was like the top person in the field. And then this lady was just interviewing the other person about the development in psychotherapy in our modern world. And the guy was saying that if you compare the number of people who come for therapy in our modern world to the number of people who came for therapy some few years ago, the number is more than, I think, 30% more than people who came for therapy just 10 years ago. So more and more people are coming for therapy. But then he said he realized one thing, that even though more and more people are coming for therapy, fewer and fewer people are coming with a question, I want to change. So in the past, when people would go for therapy when they are depressed or they have anxiety or they have some psychological disorders, they go for therapy with the statement that I want to change, I want to become a better person. But then she says that in our time, people are not coming with that statement. People are coming with the statement that I am unhappy because I want someone else or something else in my life to change. I am unhappy because I want someone else or something else which is happening to me to change. You see the contrast? People were coming with a statement that I am unhappy because it comes from within. I want to change to become a better person. Now it is gradually changing, and it is we are basing our happiness on circumstances or the things that are happening to us or someone in our lives. So if I have a bad feeling, if my feelings are not right and they are not making me happy, it is not because of the feeling. It is just because of some people out there who don't want to accept my feeling, and that is the reason why I am unhappy. Or it is because of the circumstances out there. The circumstances are not convenient. So there is nothing wrong with me on the inside. There is nothing wrong with my feelings. And there are some people out there or some circumstances out there that are making me unhappy. So that is the modern secular narrative. That if you are unhappy, it is because of something else happening. And so she goes on, the psychotherapist goes on to say this. He says that now we are changing our branding perspective. So he said that from a branding perspective, the fix was simple. The fix to people coming with a question that there is someone else or something else that is making me unhappy. He said the fix was simple. At professional networking events or in newsletters, our pitch changed from "I treat people with depression and anxiety" to "Are you having trouble with difficult people in your life?" You see how miserable it can be. If our happiness is just based on other people or on other circumstances, we cannot change other people. We cannot change other circumstances. It means we are constantly going to be unhappy. If our happiness is based on circumstances, we cannot change circumstances. Life gives us lemons. We cannot change that. It means we will constantly remain unhappy. But this psalm tells us that happiness is not based on circumstances. And I will show you why. The psalm gives a metaphor of a tree which is planted by a riverside. And this tree goes through different kinds of seasons. This tree goes through a period of drought. This tree goes through a period where there are no fruits on the tree. But there is something amazing which happens to this tree at all times. Its leaves do not wither. Its leaves are always green. Even though it feels the drought, even though it feels the temperature, even though it goes through seasons, there are sometimes the tree is not bearing fruit, yet the leaves are always green. If you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, Peter writes that even though he says that we rejoice at all times, although we are in great grief. He's using two present tenses. We rejoice at all times, even though we are in great grief. So for a Christian who is deeply planted in God, you may be in grief, yet you rejoice. It doesn't mean that if you are a Christian who is planted in God, you will not feel grief or you will not go through bad times. There are some people who might say that, you know, if you are a Christian, then it means you are going to be happy. If you are a Christian, you are going to be happy at all times. You are going to be always be smiling. That is not biblical. That's not what we find in the Bible. And at least in the Psalms, we see that this tree is subjected to conditions. It is subjected to different seasons, yet it does not wither. So you are in great pain, yet you rejoice. How come? The tree, as we find in the book of Psalm, what happens is that when there is drought, when the weather is so dry, there is no rain, because the tree has got roots which goes into water, because it is planted close to water, what happens is that when the conditions on the outside are so severe, it forces the root to actually go deeper to suck water from the ground. That is the only reason why the tree is going to remain, the leaves of the tree is going to remain green at all times. When bad things are happening, when the circumstances are not good, if you are a Christian, because you are planted in God, and 1 Peter, I think 2 Peter, Peter says it again, that we are partakers of the divine nature of God. So if you become a Christian, you actually become a partaker. You are planted into something. You are planted into something, and underneath there is water. That's what the Bible says. And that is the reason why Jesus often uses, when he spoke about we being the branches and he being the tree, and we being grafted into the tree. And Paul also, in Romans chapter 11, he talks about the fact that we as Christians, we are being grafted into the tree to become part of the tree. In the Bible, you see The Bible using this metaphor a lot, we being a tree. Why? Because we are the tree that is planted by water. So when there is drought, when there are difficult times, when we are going through pain, it forces us actually to go deeper to suck from the water. I have some few friends who have gone through terrible times in life. And anytime I speak to them, they tell me that their challenges or their difficulties in life actually force them to become stronger in their faith. The challenges or the difficulties they go through in life forces them to become stronger in their faith. You see, so happiness is not based on what happens to you. It is based on who you are. And I repeat it again. Happiness is not on the basis of what happens to you. It is on the basis of who you are. You remember the famous quote by Carnegie? He says that there are two men in prison bars. They are looking through the prison bars. One saw mud. The other saw stars. Two men in the same circumstances, prison bars, in the same prison, the same condition. They are looking outside. One sees mud. The other person sees stars. What is the difference? The difference is not the circumstances. They see the same circumstances, but the difference is in them. The difference is who they are. It is coming from within. You see, so when we are unhappy, it is not because of someone out there or some circumstances out there that is why we are unhappy. But the Bible tells us that when we are unhappy, it has to do with our roots. If our roots are not planted by streams of water, when we are unhappy, we are going to always remain dry, unhappy, because of our roots. And that is what the Psalms tell us. So when we go through suffering, when we go through pain as Christians, because we've got roots which is deeply planted in water, we are going to get more water and our leaves are always going to remain green. Now, the other way of not seeking happiness is not to seek happiness directly. Happiness cannot be sought directly. And that is one other thing that the Psalms tell us. It starts by saying, blessed is the one who does not do this, who does not do that, but rather does this. Blessed is the one. The psalm does not say that blessed is the one who seeks for happiness or happy is the person who seeks for happiness. And if you read through the Bible, you see that anytime Jesus is using the word blessed, he's talking about the person seeking something else. Blessed are the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He doesn't say that blessed are the people who are seeking for happiness. He doesn't say happy are the people who are seeking for happiness. Why? Because you will never get happiness directly. It always comes as a byproduct when you are seeking less of happiness and seeking something greater than happiness. That is when you get happiness. And I'm going to explain more about that. So happiness is never attained directly. And we see that in the Bible. I want to read a short quote from Viktor Frankl. I'm sure most of us have read his book, his famous book, Man's Search for Meaning. So Viktor Frankl was a psychologist and a scientist. And he was taken to several concentration camps, but he survived the concentration camps. And when he was at a concentration camp, Auschwitz, he was basically observing from a scientific point of view everything that was happening in the camp. And that was what influenced him, made him to write the book, Man's Search for Meaning. And in the book, this is what he says about happiness. By the way, he's not a Christian. And he says this, happiness cannot be pursued. It must ensue. And it only does so as the unintended side effect of one's personal dedication to a cause greater than oneself, or as the byproduct of one's surrender to a person other than oneself. You see what he's saying? He's saying that happiness can never be pursued. You can never pursue happiness. It only has to ensue, which means that happiness can only be a byproduct. And this is not a Christian, by the way. And then he says that you can only be happy when you are committed to something far greater than yourself or a person who is far greater than yourself. Because once you start a journey by seeking for happiness, you are never going to get it because happiness has never been attained directly. You know, we the younger ones, we may say that, you know, if we will be honest with ourselves, we know to some extent that we are not happy. If we will be very honest with ourselves, but we try some way or the other to convince ourselves that the reason why we are not happy is because we have not
We are not done with our studies. We've not gotten the job we want, or we've not been able to get the things that we want to get in life to make us happy. And so we think that we are going to be different. There are all these people who are not unhappy, but I am going to be different. No. History tells us no one has ever been different. If we seek happiness directly, we are never going to get it. And I think Viktor Frankl is right, and that is what the Bible also says. That is what the psalm is saying. Blessed is the one who chooses not to be with the wicked, who chooses not to walk in the way of the sinners, but rather chooses to meditate upon the word of God. When you meditate upon the word of God, he's saying that that is what brings you happiness. You are not seeking happiness. So a Christian is not the person who is going out seeking happiness. You know, or from a secular perspective, sometimes you may be told that, you know, the only thing that matters, the only thing that is going to make you happy is to be selfless. Go to a developing country, go to a poor place and help people over there. And that is what is going to make you happy. Now, if that is your motivation and you say that, well, I believe in being selfless because in the end, that is what is going to make you happy. You don't believe in being selfless. What do you mean by you believe in being selfless? You believe in your happiness. Because you are using selflessness as a means to get happiness. That is where you begin from. You begin with the aim of being wanting to be happy, and you want to use selflessness to attain happiness. And so when you become selfless and you realize that it is becoming difficult, and it is definitely going to be difficult, and the happiness is not forthcoming, you will give up. If you go for a psychotherapy and you've been having issues with money, or you've been having issues with something that you think will make you happy, for example, romance, and you are receiving psychotherapy, what a psychotherapist is going to tell you, or what a psychotherapist is going to direct you with, is to change the things that you've put your hopes in that is failing you. So if it is romance, or if it is money or career or whatever it is that is failing you, the psychotherapist is going to guide you in changing you from putting your hopes in that thing into something else. So now why don't you invest more in relationships rather than seeking after career, rather than running after career? Invest more into relationships because relationships are more meaningful. Invest more into, you know, helping people, being selfless, because that is more meaningful. That is what the world needs. What they are basically doing is they are moving you from one hope, which is within the world, into another hope, which is also within the world, which is also going to fail you. If you don't believe that there is another world like the ancient people believed, then the only way to get your happiness in this earth is to move from one thing to another, is to blame the circumstances. So if you are not happy in your marriage, then it is because of my spouse. Maybe he's not the right person. Maybe she's not the right person. If you are not happy with your job, it is the job. Maybe I didn't choose the right career. Maybe I should change it. If you are not happy with the person you are in relationship with, maybe it is something else that is happening. If you are not happy in general, maybe it is the circumstances. Maybe there is someone out there who is not making me happy, or there is something happening to me that is making me unhappy. You move from one circumstance to another, changing and trying to change them because you started by beginning that when I do this, it will make me happy. So you blame the circumstances themselves. That is how C.S. Lewis put it. So the rich who can afford luxurious holidays, when they try one and it doesn't give them the fulfillment, why don't I try a much more luxurious holidays next time? So you move from one thing to another. So you blame it on the things themselves. Why? Because you were seeking happiness directly. And the Bible tells us that we cannot seek happiness that way. There may be some of us who also say that I want to be a Christian because I want to be happy. Oh, no. If you want to seek God, you want to have God because you have the intention of being happy, you are not going to get it. If you say, I have to obey these rules, I have to do this, do that, and by doing that, God is going to bless me and God is going to make me happy, you are not going to get happiness. Because what you are doing is that you want to use God to reach your own goal of being happy. Time and again, the Bible tells us that those who come to God saying that I owe you are the people who end up finding happiness. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, people who don't have anything in their spirit. They come to God empty, and they are the people who are going to be filled in the end. Jesus said that if you seek my kingdom first and its righteousness, then all other things shall be added unto you. He's not saying that go seek happiness. So if you are coming to God because you want to be happy, it is not God you are coming to. You are coming to your own happiness. You are coming to your own blessings. God wants us to come to him because he is God. Because he created you and I. You see, there are only two possibilities. It is either God exists or does not exist. If God does not exist, who cares about that? If God exists, then it means we must come to him for who he is, not what he gives. We must come to him because he created us. You remember the story of the prodigal son? When he came back, he was not coming for the position of a son anymore. He said, Father, I owe you. Make me a servant. I don't deserve to be a son. Because he took that position, he said that I am not coming for happiness. I am coming to be a slave, to serve. God elevated him and put him in the place of a son. Because he was not coming to seek happiness. He was coming to serve. So we have to come to God on the basis of the fact that not because God owes us, not because God owes us, but because we owe God, we come to him with empty-handed. This takes me to my last point, which is how to obtain happiness. So first, I spoke about the possibility of happiness. And second, I spoke about how not to speak about happiness. And the first one was about circumstances. You never seek happiness from circumstances. You never seek happiness directly. And the last point that the psalm tells us is about how to obtain happiness. And this psalm tells us that happiness is a choice we make. So he begins by saying that blessed, happy is the one who does not, but who does. So that this happy person that the Bible is talking about is the kind of person who does not do this, who does not do that, but rather chooses to do this. So it's a choice we make. And how do we make that choice? By analyzing the things that we have put our hopes in to make us happy. By analyzing the things that we have put our hopes in to make us happy and then turn away from those things. Because that's what the Bible says over here. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. The law that the Bible is talking about here is not the Ten Commandments that the Bible is talking about. The Bible is actually talking about the Word of God. And it is linked to the water by which the tree is planted. So when there is drought, when there are difficult times that we are going through as Christians, we go back into the Word of God because that is where we get that water from. That is where we can actually get much more water to remain, to make our leaves still remain green, even though we are in drought, even though we are in bad circumstances. It will make us constantly and fundamentally and permanently happy. Like I said again, it is not the kind of happiness that you smile every time. That's not the kind of happiness I'm talking about. I am talking about the happiness that stands even when there are difficult times. You remember what Paul said? We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We are perplexed, but never in despair. Look at that. We are perplexed. You may be perplexed all the time, but you will never get into despair. Why? Because your roots are deeply planted. And whenever there are hardships, whenever you are perplexed, it forces you to go much deeper into your root to suck water, to remain green at all times. That is how the Christian happiness looks like. It is not a kind of happiness that is based on circumstances. It's not a kind of happiness that we seek directly. You seek something much higher than yourself. Like Viktor Frankl was saying, seek something bigger, greater than yourself. And then happiness will come as a byproduct. But most importantly, the word that the Bible is talking about in the Psalms, which he says we meditate on, is about Christ. You see, when Christ came, he says that I have come in the volumes of the books. In the Psalms, Christ Jesus says, the Bible says, I have come. Christ Jesus has come in the volume of the books.
when he was with his disciples, time and again he told them that all scriptures were written about me. You remember when he had an encounter with the Pharisees in John chapter 5, and then he was telling them that, do not think that I will accuse you, because I am not the accuser of the brethren. It was even Moses who accused you to the Father. And if you believed Moses, you would believe me also, because Moses wrote about me. The whole of the Bible, the whole of the scriptures is about Christ, what he's done for you and I, the works of Christ. And if we will base our roots on the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, sucking water from it at all times. He says it time and again, I am the living water. I am the true water that you need. The true water that you need to be planted by is Christ Jesus. And so when we base our happiness on him, when we choose him, when we have him, when we deny our happiness, when we say that we don't want happiness anymore, we want you, Christ Jesus, then we get happiness. That is how he wants us to approach him. And that is why time and again he says that people who come to me denying themselves, denying their happiness, are the people who end up finding it. They are not the people who come to me with the interest of getting happiness. We need that water. You need that water. I need that water. I would want to end with a parable which is called the desert pit. Probably I have shared it before. But this is a parable of a traveler on a desert. And then he began his journey by being well prepared with so much water. But along the journey, he realized that his water was getting finished. And when he had drunk the last drop of the water he had, he became very, very thirsty. And so he started looking around aggressively to see where he could find water. And all of a sudden, he sees a pump somewhere, and he immediately runs to it with the hope that he was going to find water. When he saw the pump, he started pressing the pump, and there was no water coming. So he got frustrated at some point, and then he started looking around, and then he saw a note underneath the pump, and then he picked it up, and then he begins to read the note, and the note says this: Dear traveler, do not be in despair. I could see Niraj smiling. I think it's from an Indian song, Desert Pit. Dear traveler, do not be in despair. There is so much water here. You are going to have enough water to drink and have enough also for your journey. But there is a warning. There is a warning, which is, look underneath the pump. You are going to find a bottle of water. When you see that bottle of water, do not drink it. When you see it, you may be tempted to drink it because you can feel it and because you are very thirsty. But when you see the bottle of water, do not drink it, but rather pour the water into the pump. It will prime the pump, and when you start pumping, water will start gushing out. The warning was, you will see the water, do not drink it. You may be tempted to drink it because you will feel it. You may not believe what I am saying. But if you drink it, you are going to be thirsty again, and so will everyone who will be passing this way. But when you don't drink it and then you pour it into the pump, you will have enough water to drink and have enough for your journey and have enough for anybody who will be passing by. And when you are done, fill that bottle again and then put it in the same place for any other traveler who will be passing by. What is the moral of this story? You see, Christ Jesus tells us the same. We have our own choice. We can choose to pour our lives into our own selves. We can choose to drink this little life that we have. But he tells us time and again that we will drink it, we'll be satisfied only temporarily, but we are going to be thirsty again. And so will everyone who goes that way. But if we don't drink it and pour it into him, pour our whole life into him, again, blessed are the people who are poor in spirit. They have nothing in their spirit. If you pour everything into Christ, then there will be water gushing out. You will have enough water. And even though you may be going through difficult times, even though you may be going through tough times, tough circumstances, you will forever remain fundamentally happy. Why? Because you chose to pour everything into Christ Jesus. Shall we pray?